that I'd rather go fishing.
Yeah, 433 downtown.
Better stop up there and move it over there. You're always standing in.
Rich Kimble, Ryan Wehning, Bruce Pratt with you, and it's time for Sports Lit 101 and a chance to talk with the author of a book that we talked about here in the segment a couple of weeks ago. The book is called Backseat with Fish, A Man's Adventures in Angling and Romance. Henry Hughes is the author of the book, and he joins us on the G&M Family Market phone line. Henry, thank you so much for making time for us today.
Oh, thank you, Rich. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, hi, Henry. This is Bruce. I am. We did talk about the book before, and I was talking about it at the Sport Literature Conference up in Fredericton, New Brunswick, with some friends and who are also fishermen. And so I thought we'd get right into what you and I have emailed about. The great thing about this book is it's not one of those esoteric fishing books. It's about fishing as part of a life. And I wondered, when you originally conceived this, was that where you were going, or were you trying to tell a different story?
No, absolutely, Bruce. I really appreciate that. You know, I think the art and spirit of fishing really transcends the craft and the technique. And ever since I was very young, I liked all kinds of fishing.
Yeah.
And I think most young anglers do, but maybe we specialize. I know in your part of Maine, oh, trout fishing, a dry fly fishing for trout is, right, the pinnacle. And I think it's a fine way to fish, a beautiful and important way to fish. But I like plunking worms for catfish, you know, down in Mississippi, too.
Yeah, I've often said that the people who don't teach a kid that way at the beginning, you'll never get them as excited about fishing. I mean, you crimp the hook and catch some bluegills and a little kid's happy. It becomes part of your life. What I thought was interesting about your story is the way that you had to bring yourself up at times. After your mother passed and your dad, you know, was part of your life. But you did a lot of exploring of fishing that led you to explore a lot of other things.
Absolutely. You know, fishing has really kept me sane and kept me believing in a kind of exciting natural world. And although my mother's death occasioned a kind of, I felt disillusioned about a lot of things, I was reminded that life and death is part of nature, and that I'm that way as an angler. I often harvest fish to eat, and I see death around us, you know, right, in the salt marshes or in the rivers, and whether you're using bait or just seeing what's inside the stomach of fish. I mean, really, that life and death experience for a young person as well as a, you know, an adult, I think it's a reminder of this great universe. I want to be a part of it.
Yeah, I my friend Corey Willard, who's a scholar, he's getting his PhD out at the University of Nebraska now. He's from Alberta. I was asking about fishing in Nebraska, and this is a guy that's been fishing in some of the greatest spots in Canada with his fly rods back. And when he goes, you know, I'm really getting into catching gar and catfish and anything that's out there to fish for. He says, because what I figured out, Bruce, is as much as I love fishing for trout, it's that being in nature and doing this thing, and you know, and you don't catch and release those necessarily, you know.
Right.
Now, one of the things
I mean, go
ahead.
You got to have diversity. I think you open up so many opportunities. If you're in Nebraska and there's a warm water, gar habitat, you know, throw out a plug and you'll get some great action.
Right.
Speaking of great action, because the book is subtitled A Man's Adventures in Angling and Romance. Henry, did the peace of mind, the contentment that you found fishing, did that make you more successful in your adventures in romance? Or was it the romance that led you to a fishing as a diversion from all that?
Well, I think it went both ways at various times, but it's interesting. I've never read a fishing book that kind of braided the two, and yet you talk to many anglers, and it's certainly relationships are part of our fishing life, whether it's a girlfriend that really loves to fish and or arguments because you're spending so much time on the water. But, you know, it's funny. Our language is full of little jokes about lots of fish in the sea, or, you know, adolescent jokes about fishy smells and but honestly, literature, I teach American literature and world literature, Shakespeare puns on catching fish and catching a date. You know, Ovid's, the great Roman poet, talks about having your hook always cast. So, in fact, our culture is soaked with fishing and dating and courtship and sexual innuendos.
Now, you're a very well-established poet whose work I have read. And I was thinking, I was going to bring this up, you know, Hamlet, the worm that passed know, through the king and the fish and all that. Do you find
Indeed.
that in teaching literature and fishing that you're doing some of the very same things?
Yes.
I guess, yeah.
I'm trying to find those connections, too, and those are great metaphors and analogies. Right, in that case of Hamlet, we're reminded of our humble humility, right? And I think fishing can really ground us and make us humble. And I use a lot of parables about fishing in my teaching. And even like those jokes, you guys, you know, it's true. They'll be like, well, how'd you do over the weekend? You know, before I was married, they'd be like, catch anything? And I'd be like, hey, guys, come on, you know.
Yeah.
So they can get carried away, too. I got to be careful with some of these fishing metaphors.
You grew up in Long Island, and your first real fishing was saltwater. And there are very few guys that are both big fans of saltwater fishing and freshwater fishing, which I found really admirable and likable in the book. Do you still like to dangle it in the ocean when you get a chance?
Absolutely. You know, I live in Oregon currently, and we are also blessed with a great coastline. There's excellent halibut fishing, ling cod, rockfish, and yet our coastal rivers, the salmon and the steelhead come up there, and we have plenty of trout and, of course, introduced species from the east,
yeah,
like smallmouth bass and walleye and sunfish. So I do, and there are different kinds of fishing, as you well know, Bruce, and there's dropping bait or dropping heavy lures into deep water, and then there's, you know, finessing a streamer over a steelhead lie up in a mountain stream. So I like both.
We're talking with Henry Hughes, the author of Backseat with Fish. And Henry, at a time, we always worry about this with young people in sports, that video games and the other distractions keep them from getting exercise. But I'm sure also we're seeing, I have to think, fewer young people getting involved with fishing at that age. And I wonder if there's a concern that in some ways not having as much participation in that can somehow not help young people learn as much about humanity.
I completely agree. You know, Richard Louv wrote a great book a few years ago, Last Child in the Woods, and he makes that case very poignantly. And he's an angler and grew up fishing. And I see it in my own sons, you know, wave of technology that has really affected them, and they're not as inclined to get out in nature. And I think as our discussion is, you know, revealing, the great lessons of humanity do lie in nature, and philosophers and writers have shown us this route, and there are beautiful books about fishing, whether it's, you know, McLean or Hemingway or Duncan, and I'm trying to contribute to that, and I'm just trying to encourage people to go out and fish. I'm really doing that here in Oregon, and some outreach and just getting young people to take them fishing. I think that's so important.
One of the things I really liked in the book was when you were living in China, and you've been all over the world, and fishing and rivers and connecting with people was something you could do in another culture, completely different than ours. And there was that was the fly we were all rising to, if you will. That you could make the fishing become part of the love story. And I thought that was I really thought that was incredibly well done.
Well, thank you. You're a great reader. I really appreciate that. And yes. Fishing definitely crossed boundaries for me. Before I could learn much of the language, you know, I could find, you know, a common connection with people. And with Jin Lei, a dear friend in China who became a lover, and we would fish together. And she loved fish and knew how to cook them. And it got me into the culture very quickly because it was a deep, profound connection. And, of course, in Japan, a fish-crazed culture, within days, I was, you know, fitting in with and making friends because we liked fishing, and I would learn a few vocabulary words. And certainly, and I would eat fish. I like to eat all sorts of fish, and so they were plucking fish off the line and sashimi, you know, making sashimi around in the boat. And I was like, I'll go for that, no problem.
Sounds good. Could you read a little bit from the book for us?
Sure, I'd be very pleased. There's a passage right at the end of the book that I think captures some of the spirit of what we're talking about. West and east, open ocean and weedy ponds, urban canals and pristine springs, hot swamps and Arctic lakes, rowing into a fresh breeze and motoring through outboard fumes, drunk and sober, serious and silly, swinging baits, lures, and flies for hits and misses, landing little sprats and lead-bellied leviathan, eating some fish and letting others go. It's been an endless journey of angling. And along the way, there were relationships of every variety, back seat and front seat, crazy and calm, primal and cerebral, one-night stands and lifetime friendships, years of dating and nights of being alone, divorce and marriage. The endlessly repeated, recurring, predictable, surprising, erratic, and bizarre experiences that are so much a part of fishing can drown in an instant or, over time, become the sustaining forces of our existence, like the constant and constantly changing river that we wade in tomorrow. You never know what will happen.
That's great. That's really good. And so much of the book is good. Everybody out there is listening. This is a different book. This is something I think you really find interesting. Backseat with Fish, Man's Adventure in Angling and Romance. And there's poetry, there's fishing, there's a lot of good stuff. Really, really. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you, Rich and Bruce. Clearly, you guys are doing the good work of keeping angling alive in our souls. So thank you so much.
We're doing our best. Well, I hope we'll talk to you again sometime.